Hello and welcome back to the Second and Two podcast. I'm your host, TB. I've got my co-host, producer extraordinaire, connoisseur of glasses, hats, hoodies. What else could we have? I don't know. Also, we got a special guest in the background.
Yeah.
Little dog action back there.
Yeah.
You know, last week it was my dogs. This week it's Jody's dogs. But anyway, long intro, short. Jody, what's up, Joe?
What's good, bro? We're here. You know, we almost didn't make it today. A little peek behind the curtain. I was like, you know, let's just schedule it another day. We'll get it out that day, make it easy on ourselves. But, you know, we hammered down and got it done. So we're here Friday, 31st, on the precipice of February, you know, on the eve. So we're here knocking out these awards. We're back, baby.
We're back. All right, so the plan for today. We probably won't talk about the Super Bowl very much or really even the championship games. I know we'll talk about them a little bit, but the purpose of today is to update you on the news around the NFL. Also, look at our 2024-25 NFL season awards, as well as our second and two podcast awards for the year. And it'll be kind of a quick one. We'll get in and out, and next week, when we're back, we'll really dive into that Super Bowl matchup. But first, we got to kick it around the NFL. The Saints, the only head coach opening left, Mike McCarthy. Latest news is he is not coaching in 2025. He was kind of their top candidate along with Kellen Moore. So with him gone and them not hiring anybody, all signs are pointing to they're waiting on Kellen Moore to be done with the Super Bowl. I would imagine a day, 2 days after the Super Bowl, win or lose, Kellen Moore becomes the Saints head coach. Jody, what do you think about that?
He's the Eagles guy, right? I don't know which side.
Yes, the Eagles. The Eagles offensive coordinator.
Oh, see.
He was the Cowboys offensive coordinator and the Chargers offensive coordinator before that.
Yeah, I mean, we'll see. I don't know. This goes back to what we talked about with Dan Campbell and his squad, where, I mean, is there too big of a distraction there? Who knows? But, I don't know. If that's who they see fit and, you know, it all works out in their favor, by all means, take it. But
yeah,
it's got to be agreed upon on both sides. Saints, just because they want them, don't mean Kellen Moore want to go there. I don't know. I don't know what his interest level looks like for them. But
it did feel like, you know, Kellen Moore, Joe Brady, Cliff Kingsbury, those are the three hot names outside of Ben Johnson in terms of offensive play callers that felt like we're going to, you know, probably get a job. Cliff Kingsbury and Joe Brady kind of pulled their names out. Kellen Moore has not done that, so that's why it feels like he's probably the guy there. In other news, the Cowboys, they did hire Brian Schottenheimer. Last time we were on, it wasn't official. They did make it official. Jerry Jones has had some very weird comments about it. I don't know. The guy seems like he might be senile. Like, it's getting to
coach.
It's getting to, like, worrisome levels, some of the things he says to the media now. It doesn't make any sense. They also hired Matt Eberflus to be their DC, is what it looks like. So that's interesting. The Raiders did end up going with Pete Carroll. Again, when we were on here the last time, we talked about him being the front runner. I kind of said, like, I think that's going to be the guy. Literally the minute we stopped recording the podcast, they hired him. It was very funny. We texted each other, like, instantly right after, like, oh, hey, this happened. So this is our first opportunity to address that. Since it happened, even though it's a week old, we were right on that pick there. Dan Campbell, rebuilding his staff. He's promoted Kelvin Shepard to be the DC, who was kind of a star on Hard Knocks a couple years ago. He was their linebackers coach. You know, his whole thing was like, Dan lets him be him. You know, he's got dreads and tattoos and, like, not a lot of coaches look like that. And I thought that always kind of stuck with me. It's like, Dan Campbell's a, you know, that was an example of Dan Campbell, the leader. Like, he lets people be themselves, and that's great.
That's that culture.
So he promoted Kelvin Shepard. He hired John Morton from the Broncos, he was their Broncos passing game coordinator something like that. Maybe he was their OC under their head coach, Sean Payton, but obviously was not calling plays there. So I think that was part of the deal here. He was at one time on the Lions staff before with Dan Campbell, so there's familiarity there. So that makes sense why he hired him to be the OC. And they also hired David Shaw as the offensive passing game coordinator to kind of help John Morton. He was also serving in a role with the Broncos. So David Shaw, who's received like head coach interviews and things like that in the last couple of years. I think is really trying to position himself to maybe be a head coach in the NFL sometime soon. So this may be a thing that helps him do that. So that makes sense. I think Dan Campbell's doing a decent job based on some of these hires, what I've heard, of sort of rebuilding some of the culture that is leaving with the coaches going out the building.
Do you think that, okay, actually this is reading the paper. I saw OPC and for some reason I just assumed that meant offensive play caller. And I was like, why would they have an OC and a dude who calls the plays and it's not the same guy?
No. The passing game coordinator.
That's interesting.
That's a thing now, you know, like everyone loves to have like their OC, but then they have the run game coordinator, the pass game coordinator, and they do it on offense and defense, you know, some staffs. It just depends. I mean, it's an extra added title, I think. It just means you're like the guy helping.
True. It's like the assistant, but instead of that, you got your own title.
Yeah. Instead of assistant to the regional manager, you're the assistant regional manager at that point. Yeah. Matthew Stafford, we heard the news. He's going to be back in 2025. High assumption here, but it'll be with the Rams, I would imagine. They're going to have to rework his contract. There's a bit of a quiet contract dispute going into camp last year. So let's hope that they figure that out quicker this year. He doesn't have guaranteed money, or a lot of it anyway, coming into next season, and that's kind of the big thing, I think. So they'll work probably to rework his deal. Along with Matthew Stafford, a name of interest with the Rams, Cooper Kupp. Yeah. Question is, will he be back on a reworked deal? Will he be traded? Will he be cut? The one seemingly consensus idea right now is that he will not be back under his current contract. So he would either have to rework his contract to come back or likely be traded or cut in the offseason here. So we'll see what happens with that. I obviously love to see Cooper Kupp back. I think he and Matthew Stafford still have such a connection that it'd be really sad to see him go while Stafford's still on the team. He's also a great locker room dude. The Rams have called him a pillar of the organization. So I'd really love to see him retire a Ram, truthfully. Like, ride it out with Stafford, retire when Stafford does, you know?
Yeah, that'd be nice.
And let's go. Figure it out.
Alive.
Yeah. College All-Star games are happening right now. You know, you got the Senior Bowl, the East-West Shrine game. Look for a lot of guys to, quote-unquote, raise their stocks. Seen a lot about Dylan Gabriel at the Senior Bowl this week, as well as Jackson Dart, a couple quarterbacks trying to...
I saw Dart this morning on the feed.
...raise their ceiling. Donovan Edwards, Michigan running back, apparently has been doing really well. So I've seen a lot of stuff. There's a D3 center from Middlebury who's killing it out there right now. So a lot of stuff going on in these college All-Star games. You know, we're only 2 weeks away from entering NFL draft season, which, I mean, the season is my favorite time of year, but NFL draft season is like a close second, you know?
Yeah.
Obviously, the worst phase of the year is the summer because there's just nothing.
Nothing.
It's just nothing. But I do love NFL draft season and looking at all the prospects. So excited to get to that point. And before we do, the last thing on news here, we have a Chiefs versus Eagles Super Bowl breaking news, if you didn't know. Sunday, February 9th, 6:30 Eastern on Fox. We'll get Brady on the call. Should be interesting.
Wild.
Mahomes, Hurts, Chris Jones, Jalen Carter. We got a lot of Kelsey and Goddard. Like, we got some stuff going on here. It's a rematch from a couple years ago. Should be interesting. I'm sure we'll get a Taylor Swift cameo. All of the things. And I mean, it's not necessarily the game I wanted, but it is the game I predicted, and the games went about almost exactly as I predicted them.
Yeah.
Not to toot my own horn, but just, I mean, that wasn't an unexpected Sunday. Truthfully, it was, even though the Chiefs-Bills game came down to the wire, is it me or was that championship Sunday kind of boring? Because it kind of felt like it was like happened exactly how we thought it would happen.
I think, I don't know. I would say it's more from the Eagles game, right? That game was basically over within the
It was
first
over quickly.
Quarter almost.
Which I knew Washington could not stop Saquon. They had no chance in that. I was like, that's why I picked the Eagles to win by 10 because I figured, okay, Washington will be scrappy, you know, but the Eagles are going to be the much better team. And they ended up winning by like 30, you know, so I undersold that.
23 or something.
Yeah. I think I picked him 30-20. So, you know, I undersold that. But Chiefs Bills, I went 30-27 Chiefs, and it'd be in 32-29. So it was almost exactly what I was expecting there.
3-point difference.
Even when the Chiefs kicked the field goal to go up 3 and Allen was going to have the ball, I was like, are the Bills really going to do this? Cause they just haven't. And it feels like they just won't. I don't know. I know you were on the other side of that though. So you maybe felt a lot differently. Yeah. I was like, hey, I'm picking the Chiefs. I don't see it. You know, I like Josh Allen, would love for a Bills Eagles Super Bowl, but didn't see it. And so what were you thinking there?
I just remember it's an entertainment business. You know, it's not just sports no more. That's all I'm going to say. I think that Bills game, there was a lot of moments where, you know, things happened. We'll probably get into that next week. But overall, Chiefs-Eagles, I don't know. I think the Chiefs, they win it all. I don't see no other way around it. I don't think they're the better team, don't get me wrong. But I think whatever it is, three-peats also never been done in football. So there's that.
We're going to break down the game next week, and we're going to really watch the film, and we'll pull up all the stuff that we want to talk about. We don't have any film breakdown this week, so saving it for next week. But I will tell you this. I haven't decided who I'm picking in that game yet. I'm going to be honest. I got to watch more film. 2 years ago when these two teams played in the Super Bowl, I got that score exactly right between those two teams, which was fun.
Uh-huh.
I am planning on watching film with an open mind because I really think there are some critical factors that make me feel like Philly has a legit chance in the game.
Yeah.
So that's why I say I haven't really decided. I know that the Chiefs are popular and it's like three-peat and no one's beaten them and it's all of that. So clearly consensus will probably be the Chiefs. But I'm just telling you, I haven't made up my mind yet. I'm going to have to really watch. So we'll see. On to season awards. All right. So first up, the MVP, our finalists, according to the NFL Honors Awards, are Josh Allen, Lamar Jackson, Saquon Barkley, Joe Burrow, and Jared Goff. Jared Goff, after that playoff run, not feeling great about being a top five finalist, I would say. He did have a great season, though. Jody, I'll give you the honor of going first. First of all, tell us who you picked at the three-quarter season awards that we did. And who you're going with now.
So at that time, I was a big Josh Allen guy. I still was up until Sunday. So I'm not wavering. I'm rolling with Josh Allen as MVP, my man.
Yeah.
Played well all season.
I was with you at three-quarter mark. I picked Josh Allen. I think in giving credit and fairness to Lamar Jackson, Lamar made it much closer than I anticipated it would be at the three-quarter mark. Kind of felt like Josh Allen was running away with it at that point. Lamar finished the season on a tear, really closed the gap, and I feel like it was a real conversation, and I don't think you're wrong either way if you go with either guy. I'm still sticking with Josh Allen, and that's not the recency bias of Josh Allen beating him in the playoffs. In my mind, it was Josh Allen was truthfully working with a less talented roster than Lamar. Definitely. Ended up with more wins, though I will say Lamar did take the head-to-head in the regular season, and that may have been a factor for some voters because it wasn't close either.
Yeah.
But I mean, Lamar played, I think the Ravens had 9 Pro Bowlers.
Yeah.
And the Bills had like 2 or 3. Like there's no denying, and there's a reason I picked the Ravens in that game in the playoffs. There's no denying the Ravens have a better roster. I just think that Josh Allen put the cape on this year, and he did it in a way where he didn't also have the accompanying turnovers that he normally has when he has to put that cape on. I think it was impressive with the pass catchers that he had. It's not a bad group, but there's no high end. Like there's no guys who are a number one commanding target. I mean, it's Dalton Kincaid, Dalton Knox, Khalil Shakir, Amari Cooper. All those dudes are like twos in my mind, really good twos, but none of those guys is like a one.
The go-to. Keon Coleman. Didn't really
the next best player. Yet. The next best player on their offense was actually Deion Dawkins at tackle, right? And then it's like probably James Cook at the back, you know? So I think Josh Allen did a great job with all that context surrounding him and led them to the number two seed in the playoffs and eventually the AFC championship. So I would still give him the MVP, though I will say if you pick Lamar, I'm not mad at you. I don't think there's a wrong choice there, if I'm being honest.
Yeah, the Pro Bowl number was 8-3, 8 Baltimore, 3 for the, yeah. And two of them were linemen for Buffalo. The other one was James Cook.
Okay, Coach of the Year. The finalists here, Dan Campbell, Kevin O'Connell. Sorry, I almost KOC. Said Kevin O'Connor. Yeah, KOC.
You're looking at the KOC and you got lost. Yeah.
Sean Payton, Dan Quinn, and Andy Reid. I think it's interesting to note here, and I'll go first this time.
Yeah.
But for both of us, the guy we picked at the three-quarter mark isn't even a finalist, which tells you this award, I think, of all of them is the hardest to predict. Because it's there's so many the criteria is so like is who it the good? Guy who had Who's the best season? The like, yeah, is it the guy who raised the level of his team the most? Like is the guy who had a most surprising season? Whatever. So there's a lot going on there. At the 3-quarter mark, I think the Steelers were like 10-3, and I picked Mike Tomlin. And could you blame me? They had no their quarterback was awful. Quarterback play was I shouldn't say awful, but it was very mid for most of the year, and then it got real bad down the stretch.
Yeah.
Which is why they kind of finished the season not great, and they finished at 10-7. So almost instantly after that podcast that we recorded, the Steelers went downhill, and so hence why Mike Tomlin wasn't even a finalist. But yeah. I picked this time around. I'm going Kevin O'Connell. I think, truthfully, the way the Vikings finished the year and the way Sam Darnold finished in those last two games, again, the playoff game would not be taken into account, but even just the Lions game. It lets you know, like, okay, Sam Darnold had the ability to kind of still be that guy, which is the bad version of himself, and KOC managed to get 16 games out of him where he wasn't that guy, and I think that's the most impressive thing. It's also true that in terms of over-unders before the season, like win totals, he way outperformed what their expectation was, and I think we kind of saw that as they finished the year. So to me, that says he got the most out of the least. And that's what I'm looking for in this award. Again, this award doesn't have criteria that really makes that explicit, but that's what I look for. I think that's what makes a really good coach. It's not, you know, just, okay, you had the best team. I'm looking who got the most out of the least. And I think that was Kevin O'Connell this year. So I think he deserves that award. Who are you going with?
Well, I just want to say with that statement, you could go either the guy I'm going to say for my answer or Sean Payton. Sean Payton's over-under was like 4.5 or something, 3.5. And they got to the playoff, won 10 games. Like
they I think the Vikings was like 5.5, and they won 14 games.
But that's crazy.
It's crazy.
I guess the same vein would be that they were probably expecting JJ to start, which would mean it was going to be slow. Mm-hmm. So that all kind of makes sense, too. Because, I guess Sean Payton was in the same boat with Bo Nix.
And that's the thing. All of these finalists, no shade, any one of them. They're all great coaches. I mean, because there's great coaches that weren't finalists. Like, I think, you know, Sean McVay, Nick Sirianni, like, dudes like that could have been finalists very easily and weren't. Sean McDermott, your guy, like, all of those guys could have been finalists and weren't. So just to even be a finalist is very impressive in this award because it's so hard to pick. But continue.
Yeah, so I'm rolling Dan Quinn. I think kind of how you said, you know, did the most with the least. Like, they had the rookie quarterback, like I said, Sean Payton did as well. Their receiver core is definitely not nearly as talented. And, you know, Dan Quinn, first year with the team, right? Head coach. Mm-hmm. So, you know, traveling to Washington, spinning the whole program around with the rookie quarterback, I think it's all very impressive. Made it to the NFC Championship, not that that matters for this award, but... You know,
I was going to say, you know, if the voting took place now, I think it's Dan Quinn is a shoo-in for this award. Just because you saw what he did in the playoffs, but because you don't get that context when they vote on this award in week 18, it makes it harder. But I'm with you. If you got to take into account the playoffs, Dan Quinn's the coach of the year, and I don't think it's that close.
Yeah, no, I think regardless, though, it's one of our two. I kind of, you know, that's kind of how I went with mine. Like, unless it was clear, like one dude, like I was going to give the option to the other dude just to make a case, you know?
Yeah. But
yeah, I could see definitely either one of the two for sure. Andy Reid's kind of wild for him. 15 wins, like he's been to the Super Bowl 3 years in a row now. How is that any different than what we expect?
Dude, I mean, it's crazy because you're right. It's just kind of like, oh, well, this is what we expect from Andy Reid, but I'm glad he ends up as a finalist because it's like, dude, that team really didn't feel that good, and they won 15 games. And so, like, it is great for him to be in that finals.
One of them they just threw away for fun.
Yeah. Okay, offensive player of the year. The finalists here. Saquon Barkley, Joe Burrow, Ja'Marr Chase, Derrick Henry, Lamar Jackson. I think along with coach of the year, this is the other one that's hard to predict because generally MVP is going to be a quarterback. So it makes offensive player of the year real murky. Like, do you give it to another quarterback? Do you give it to the best skill player? I almost wish they would just say, hey, MVP is going to be a quarterback. Offensive player of the year is just going to be the best skill player. Whoever that other guy is, just give it to that guy because it makes this award real hard because, like, Joe Burrow is a finalist and so is Lamar Jackson for MVP as well as this award.
Yeah, that's
like
crazy.
If we're sitting here saying, like, if Josh Allen was MVP, well, then offensive player of the year could be Lamar. I mean, it also could be like MVP's Lamar and offensive player of the year is Lamar. I mean, who? So it's just kind of weird. So in my mind, when I look at this award, I don't pick a quarterback.
Yeah,
that's just me. I look at like who do I think was the best skill player that year? Let me give it to the non-QB who had a great year because I look at MVP as such a QB award. And I think that's kind of how most people look at it, truthfully. So there's all five of these dudes, easy arguments. It's interesting. You have two Ravens, two
Bengals,
and then Saquon, right? So who did you go with, Jody?
So in the three-quarter mark of the season, I went with Saquon. Still a very viable option here, but I'm going to say Ja'Marr has a very good shot with that triple crown. I think that's very impressive.
I agree.
It ties back to, you know, them having a up and down season, going 9-8, finishing, you know, on the upside and then very close making the playoffs. I think it's just crazy how it all plays out. And, you know, the first triple crown since our guy Coop did it. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So
3 years ago.
Yeah.
It's crazy because when Coop won the triple crown, shoo-in for offensive player of the year.
Yeah, definitely.
So it feels like Ja'Marr, I mean, he should be a shoo-in. However, the crazy thing is like Saquon, if he had played in that last game, probably breaks the rushing record.
Yeah, and I think at that point it's a shoo-in.
and also this is another one of those awards where it's like, well, if you took into account playoffs, it's definitely Saquon because Ja'Marr didn't even get to play in the playoffs.
Yeah.
At the three-quarter mark, I went with Saquon. I'm sticking with Saquon. The dude has been like the most unstoppable offensive player that doesn't play quarterback all season. Ja'Marr is like right there. And it does feel weird to be like, I'm not giving it to Ja'Marr Chase when he won the triple crown. That's insane. But Saquon was that good this year that I feel like I will be surprised if Saquon doesn't win this award. That's how strongly I think it's him. I would be shocked if on NFL Honors Night, this guy doesn't get this award. So we'll see. Again, it's an unpredictable one, and we'll see what happens with it.
If you had to pick someone different out of them two, outside of them two, who would you go with here?
If I'm going by my own criteria, I guess I have to go with Derrick Henry because I don't want to pick a quarterback. Truthfully, it does feel like Joe Burrow, the season he had, deserves something. He's a finalist in three awards. He's a finalist for MVP, Offensive Player of the Year, and Comeback Player of the Year, and I don't know if he's going to win any of them, which is insane. But it does feel like he should win one.
He's doing something. Yeah.
Well, because that team sucked and he was the only reason they had any remote. It's incredible they had a chance to make the playoffs at the end of the year. And he is basically, along with Ja'Marr Chase, the only reason that they were in that position. So it does feel like he should get some kind of recognition for that. But maybe that's participation trophy and me talking.
Yeah.
I don't know if he's going to win any of these awards. I didn't pick him to win any of them. Spoiler alert. So that's interesting. Defense player of the year. This year feels like a really hard year to pick defense player of the year. The finalists are Zach Bond, Myles Garrett, Trey Hendrickson, Pat Surtain, and TJ Watt. I'll go first this time. At the three-quarter mark, I took Xavier McKinney. He was killing it at that point, leading the league in interceptions. He had an unbelievable year, and then he kind of just had a slow finish to the year, man. I mean, just wasn't, you know, it ended up not being. It's hard for a safety to win the award in general, and I kind of knew when I picked him in week 13, probably wasn't going to end up being the guy, but I wanted to give him that recognition because he was having such a great year. Figured he'd be a finalist at least. He is not. I guess in sticking in the similar vein to what I picked originally, I'm going to stick with a DB. I think Pat Surtain made what the Broncos did on defense possible because you just put him on a guy and it's like that guy's gone. He's erased. Now, I will say this. You know, we talked about other guys. If you included playoffs, oh man, it would really help them. If you include playoffs for this guy, it would not. He played awful against the Bills, truthfully. He was not very good, but his regular season was incredible. I would still pick him for defensive player of the year here at this point. I do think any one of these five could get the award, though. It's a true toss-up here because they all had great seasons, and there wasn't like a guy who had 20 sacks or a million picks or whatever. So there's just not a statistical leader that makes it a clear and obvious choice. So I'm going to go with the guy who I think helped his defense play the best this year, and that's Pat Surtain. Who you got?
So for me, I think this is the first time I've ever seen, at least from what I could recall, seeing this guy make it into the finalists since I've been voting for him every year. So I voted TJ Watt earlier. I'm going to stick with it. I've been willing this year in and year out, and I think that we can finally get it done. and going back to your playoff theory, if that's the case, there's only one dude who's taking it. Everyone else didn't even make the playoffs. Well, I guess Pat Surtain did. Never mind. That's a lot.
Zach Bond for Philly. Yeah. I mean, and he came out of nowhere. I mean, what a great year for that guy. So, definitely want to acknowledge his season. Okay. So we now have got the offensive rookie of the year. This one feels like the easiest of all the awards to choose. The finalists are Brock Bowers, Jaden Daniels, Malik Nabers, Bo Nix, and Brian Thomas Jr. All great seasons. Incredible seasons. But no one even comes close to Jaden Daniels in this case. Yeah. I've got Jaden Daniels. I picked him at the three-quarter mark. Hasn't changed at all. I mean, the way he finished the season solidified it. I mean, it made it like a no contest at that. It was a contest when I picked him in week 13. It is now not. Jody, who'd you have?
Yeah, so at the three-quarter mark, I had Bo Nix. I think that they had a rough stretch there at the end. They needed one game to make the playoffs, and it took them to Chiefs pulling all their people to do it. So I think that's a tough look for him. So I'm rolling JD5, as the offensive rookie of the year. I do want to mention Brock Bowers. I think he went crazy for the tight end position, dude, especially as a rookie.
In a regular year, yes, that guy's getting it. It's just like Puka with CJ Stroud last year. It's like, dude, Puka in a normal year, like shoo-in, but because CJ had the year he had as a rookie, is like, ah, you know. Yeah. You can't really call it there. Tough luck for Puka and then Brock Bowers back to back. I mean, shoot, even Nabers and Brian Thomas Jr. had fantastic rookie seasons for a receiver. So, defensive rookie of the year. The finalists, Cooper DeJean, Braden Fisk, Quinyon Mitchell, Chop Robinson, Jared Verse. This tells you the Eagles and the Rams killed the draft because the Eagles have two candidates and the Rams have two candidates. And then Chop Robinson came on real strong at the end of the year for Miami. They needed him to. So great job by Les Snead and Howie Roseman. I'm going Jared Verse. Guy was a freak. I know the only thing that hurts him in this argument is his sack numbers weren't super high, but he was up there in terms of pressure numbers. And his pressure numbers, though, are right there with like TJ Watt, Miles Garrett, Trey Hendrickson. So like those will translate into sacks as his career goes, but I think he only had like 4.5 on the regular season. It showed up in the playoffs. I think he had as many sacks in the playoffs as he did like in the regular season. So that lets you know sometimes those sack numbers are fluky. You know, it's the pressure numbers that really show up. And he was up there with the best in the game already as a rookie. And that's why I think you got to give him the award. I gave it to him at the three-quarter mark, not changing my pick now.
Yeah, I'm in the same boat. I had him at the three-quarter mark. I'm still rolling with him. I do want to say, I think the only other viable option I'd want to say is probably Quinyon Mitchell.
Yeah.
I think he's basically been like Between Revis Island two, for sure. all year. So it's got to be one of them, like you said.
I would also like to give just an honorable mention to Cooper DeJean. I know Quinyon gets more of the pub on that team. Yeah. But I will say Cooper DeJean, when he got put in the slot by Vic Fangio in like week 4, their defense went from being they became like one of the best defense in the NFL. And it feels like a big part of that was Cooper DeJean. So just, I will say, I think he'll finish like third or fourth behind Verse and Mitchell. And then, you know, him and Fisk maybe are, you know, Fisk had better sack numbers than Verse. And so that's part of why he's an interior player. So that's what's so impressive about him. But man, all these dudes are great, but I do think, at the end of the day,
we're missing him in that Eagles game. I'll say that.
Yes, no question. Tough. Comeback player of the year. All right, our finalists. This is also criteria for this award. It doesn't make sense. I don't get it, but whatever. Joe Burrow, Sam Darnold, J.K. Dobbins, Christian Gonzalez, and Damar Hamlin.
Back.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, DeMar Hamlin, last year it was like he came back from nearly dying on the field, or did die and came back. And so it was just impressive that he was even playing. This year it was like he was a player. Like he was a really good player for that Bills defense. So I assume the argument is that like last year he was kind of on the team, but he didn't really do much. And it was kind of like whatever. It was a feel-good story, but he wasn't really doing it. And this year he was like a real ball player. Like for real, did a lot of good things for them. Joe Burrow obviously came back from the injury. Sam Darnold just wasn't a viable starter for years and then became like one of the best quarterbacks in the NFL. It felt like overnight. J.K. Dobbins coming back from the injury, though he did get hurt towards the end of the year, so I think that hurts his case. And then Christian Gonzalez came back from the season-ending injury he had as a rookie. This feels like probably a two-horse race. I'll let you go first this time, Jody. Who you got?
Yeah, so the three-quarter mark. This one aged very, very well. I went with like Russell Wilson. At that time, though, my guy, I believe, was still undefeated. 5-0 as a starter. Honestly,
it's akin to me picking Mike Tomlin coach of the year. It was the same thought process at that moment. The Steelers were 10-3. I mean, they were awesome. And then they just was bad end of the year, and Russ bad end of the year. Yeah, no, I'm with you.
I ran out of town from Denver, came to, you know, Pittsburgh, got told he was going to get the job whenever he was ready. It looked very good. And then that fell off. They had that 10-game stretch and couldn't pull one off, and made it to the playoffs and couldn't pull it off. But right here, I think we've seen it. Our guy's finally going to do it. In my eyes, Joey B. I saved the numbers for later. I have them, but like, I just think it the true viable option for coming back. It got hurt. What was it? The wrist, right? I think it's the best answer I could give. Like as you said, we don't really know the criteria, and this one's tough.
At the three-quarter mark, I took Sam Darnold. I'm sticking with Sam Darnold. I know the end of the season wasn't pretty, but truthfully, if you're talking about who was like had the most unexpected great season, based on what we knew about last year with all these guys, it's Sam Darnold. Again, I don't even know if that's really the criteria, but that's what I'm using. So I'm with Sam Darnold here. Executive of the year. So, you know what I found out in my research for this?
What is it?
The NFL Honors doesn't actually give out an executive of the year.
Wow.
It's an award given out by like
the other coaches or something.
Pro Football Writers of America, and like there's like other like media outlets that give out the award.
No, it's not.
But it's not an NFL. It's not a recognized NFL Honors award, which is interesting. I didn't know that. I thought they did do that. What I learned is they actually give out an Assistant Coach of the Year award. And we didn't do that at the midseason mark, so I didn't include that here. But I figure we still, I mean, I like giving out an executive of the media. Year. I think recognizing, So in my mind, at the three-quarter mark, I took Howie Roseman. I mean, he's in the Super Bowl now. Can't really change it. Like the dude, I mean, it's the thing that's crazy about it is it's the draft. It's signing Saquon. It's adding both of those coordinators to make it work all around. I mean, it's adding, replacing Jason Kelsey with
Juergens.
Yeah, Cam Juergens. And then bringing in Mekhi Becton, who was a failed experiment at tackle in New York. And you put him at guard and he's suddenly a mauler. Like everything they did worked. There wasn't one thing that Howie Roseman tried in the offseason that basically didn't work. That's so impressive. I mean, it's one of the best off seasons I've seen a team have in quite some time. And they were already very talented. But again, just every move. Okay, slide Cam Juergens to center, bring in Mekhi Becton to play guard. Works. Still one of the best offensive lines in the league. Hey, we're going to add Saquon Barkley to his offense. Works. He's going to nearly break the rushing record. Hey, we're going to draft two rookie corners to play on our defense to just change our secondary. Works. We're going to bring back C.J. Gardner-Johnson to play safety. Works. I mean, it's just like everything they did. Oh, we're going to sign this guy, Zach Bond, who is like an edge rusher in this system. But because we hired Vic Fangio, Vic Fangio's like, oh, I'm going to make him a middle linebacker. He's a defensive player of the year finalist. I mean, works. Oh, we're going to bring Kellen Moore in to run the offense and make sure that this works with him and Sirianni and Nick and Jalen Hurts and all that. Works. I mean, there wasn't one thing Howie Roseman did this offseason that didn't work. I mean, I know I'm like glazing the dude, as the kids would say right now, but truthfully, that there's nothing else I can say.
He did make crazy moves, that's for sure.
And he did. He did it all, and he did it right.
The Super Bowl, like you said.
So, yeah, I don't see how you could give it to anybody else at this point, truthfully.
Yeah, I'm kind of in that same boat. I'll let you say all the things you just did, because I agree. But at the three-quarter mark, I had less need. You know, similar.
Who was not a bad option. Not a bad option, but Howie Roseman just.
Yeah. He ran away with it for sure. No. The less need was, I mean, you could kind of see it with the defensive rookie of the year, the draft. They both did great.
Mm-hmm.
But I think, like you said, they had a better free agent signing and whatnot, and it shows,
Yeah.
But we'll see what happens. Maybe less need could figure it out with the quarterback after we figure out what's going on with Stafford. That's the next move.
All right, so now we're going to give out our second and two podcast year awards. It's the first time we've done this. We always give out our weekly awards. This is the first year we're going to give out a yearly award. Our Tuqua Gamer of the Year award is first. I don't know how many times this guy won my Gamer of the Week. Sure, he won my Who's Cooking award plenty of times. Yeah, but
definitely.
Jaden Daniels. I sat there and thought about this and was like, man, what dude just showed up every time? You know, like that definition of a gamer, just showed up clutch every time his team needed him in the big moments. Dude, it's Jaden Daniels. It's not even close. Like the amount of games he won at the end of a game to get them to the spot that they were in. And then you take into account he gets them to the NFC Championship game. It's a total gamer. Like there's nothing else I could say. So I don't think I need to say much more. Jaden Daniels is my Gamer of the Year.
Yeah, I get that. For me, I took it a little differently. I saved the QB for the QB spot, but I have CeeDee Lamb here on, he was kind of pretty much the only offense, did it with two different quarterbacks, lost Dak somewhere in the middle of the season. He was their main option at receiver. My guy finished with 101 catches, 152 targets, basically 1,200 yards, 6 touchdowns. It's clear that, they needed to get a run game to help him go crazy on the outside, because if he could get 1,200 yards with no run game, they got Zeke coming in at the end of the year to try to make something happen, and
Cooper Rush playing quarterback for most of the year, by the way. Yeah, that's a fair call.
So we'll see what happens there, but yeah, CeeDee Lamb got my Gamer of the Year.
He also missed the last game of the season, I think.
Yeah, he got put on IR.
Yeah,
he missed like half of the week 17, and then 18 didn't even play.
Yeah. And I still remember, him balling against the Bucks on Sunday Night Football when they were already eliminated, and Chris Collinsworth just kept saying, like, he's hurt. He's, he's balling despite being hurt, and they're out of the playoffs. There's nothing to play for, and he's just out here cooking. And it was like, I do remember going, like, yeah, dude, CD. Okay, Jody, your dog of the year.
Who we got? This kind of ties back to you don't pick a quarterback for the offensive player of the year. My dog of the year is normally where I give shine to the running backs, and the next best up after Saquon, who's going to win one of them big awards, I got Derrick Henry here. 1,900 yards, 200 receiving as well, 18 total touchdowns, 16 of them rushing. Not to mention my guy's 30, which is like a grandpa at running back. Too much wear and tear on the tires. My man got wires. 60. Yeah, he liked that. My guy's got wires throwing through his tires. I don't know why that was a tongue twister. But Derrick Henry went crazy being on Baltimore for his first season. So only good things to come from him.
I like that pick. Okay, my minor setback for a major comeback in 2025. All right. This was a tough award to give week to week. And, sometimes I gave it to a player, sometimes I gave it to a team. I'm looking at a specific guy here, and that guy is Caleb Williams. It sounds crazy to say, but he's kind of the forgotten quarterback of the rookie class right now. Yeah. I mean, the way the season ended, he went first, but everyone loves Jaden Daniels. Oh, he made it to the NFC Championship game. Oh, everyone loves Drake May. Oh, he's got Vrabel now. He's going to be awesome. And he was great on a bad team. And Bo Nix, like, he was the finalist for Rookie of the Year. And he, got the Broncos to the playoffs with Sean Payton. And so all those guys, rightfully so, even Penix, finished the year and people were really excited about him. People are still talking about J.J. McCarthy. You didn't even see him play.
Drake May just made the Pro Bowl.
Yeah. And so you're like, okay, Caleb Williams, it's not like no one's talking about him, but it's just not the same. No, generally in the offseason of the first overall pick, you know, going into it.
Yeah.
And now he has Ben Johnson. And I think they're going to make that O-line better. And I think Ben Johnson's going to help him as a play caller. He's going to get some consistency. He had no consistency in the play caller this year. Had three different play callers in 1 year. I think he's going to have a look for him to cook in 2025 is what I'm saying. He had a minor setback this year to get the right setup for him going forward. I think he's set up for a major comeback in 2025. Look for Caleb Williams to shine.
Nails on fleek next year, bro.
Okay. No cap, hats off, play of the year here. I think we all know where I'm going with this one. There's one that stands out very much so. I did think about that Commanders Cowboys game, you know, kind of in the middle of the year. That was crazy with the kickoff returns and all that stuff. But it nothing compares to the Commanders Hail Mary against the Bears in week 8. Yeah. Remember, the Bears DB is like literally in the end zone, talking crap to Commanders fans. Oh yeah, we're gonna win. And then like turns around mid play and it's like, oh, it's a Hail Mary. Like gotta goes get to over try there. And bat the ball down, misses, like tips it up, guy catches in the end zone, touchdown, Commanders win. There's nothing more no cap hats off than that play. Like that was insane.
Yeah.
And it also set the Commanders up for their playoff run. They needed that game. True, if they don't get that game, they're the 7 seed and they're playing Philly in round 1 instead. And we just saw what happened in the NFC Championship game. They don't make the NFC Championship if that play doesn't happen. Crazy domino effect. Because it also sent the Bears in that downward spiral. Remember, the Bears were 4-2 at that point.
Yeah.
And they lost that game. And then they lost like 10 in a row or something. 9 in a row before they finally won at the end of the season in Green Bay. So that domino effect of that play cannot be explained in any other way than just it's the no cap hats off play of the year. I mean, unbelievable.
Yeah, that was definitely a good one. I think that one came to my mind first. And then it was like, I don't know. Probably, I think the other one that stood out to me was something like 2 weeks ago with the Broncos where it was just like tip, 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 tip. Some other dude came in and caught it. But even then, it's like that's definitely not nearly as – because that you win the game with that, like you said, it just crazy. Well, crazy
it's not even just the Hail Mary. It's the angle of the dude talking to the fans and then being the one who messes it up.
The way like, by the numbers on the sideline has to come all the way across the field.
Oh, it's so bad. Great learning lesson for the kids out there. The Strahan Munoz Big Fella Award for the year. Jody, who do you have on the Munoz side?
So right here, I think one dude I looked at quite a bit was Tyler Linderbaum. Kind of shows with him being in the Pro Bowl. Granted, you got Derrick Henry running behind you with 1,900 yards. That alone should tell you you're doing something great on offensive line. And I think this dude, I don't know. I was looking at the list of Pro Bowlers to see who I wanted for my linemen. And I think I picked like 4 or 5 different dudes that were all linemen.
Mm-hmm.
Which is kind of crazy. I was like, wow, I actually do be looking at some good stuff week to week. And like, it's like, clearly we give them
our love,
but it's like, that's obviously recognized by the league too. You know what I mean? I think that's the crazier part. Cause we got different criteria. You're looking at, you know, pressures, like you said, sacks, whatever metrics you're looking at. And I'm just watching a dude move dudes out of the way. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, that's hard. Yeah. That's hard to critique. And so, I think Tyler Linderbaum definitely going to be – he's an interior lineman. And so
– had a great year.
Yeah, I agree. And it shows. Good call. They definitely get the recognition.
Our guy, Deion Dawkins, you know, he was advocating for a Lineman of the Year award. We need to direct him to this podcast. Hey, bro, we give a Lineman of the Week every week. We're giving a Lineman of the Year, too. Like, we got one, bro. Now – I would tell you he probably would say it should have been him, not Tyler Linderbaum. But
yeah,
I'm sure he would love that we're giving it out. Okay, on the Strahan side of the award, easy money, baby. Trey Hendrickson wasn't close. His sacks in the critical moments throughout the year were the only good thing on a bad Bengals defense. He won, you know, the sack title this year.
Yeah.
And his sacks in that Steelers game, like all clutch. The only reason they had a shot,
four.
And I said earlier, I know I said earlier, you know, the only reason the Bengals had a shot to be in the playoffs was Joe Burrow and Ja'Marr Chase, and that's true. I should have added Trey Hendrickson in there as a reason, because he's the only reason their defense did anything that was good this year. It's amazing he had the numbers he had on such a bad defense. So he definitely has to get the nod here. As good as TJ Watt, Miles Garrett, and Jalen Carter are, you know, I considered all three of those dudes, but I got to go with my guy, Trey Hendrickson. So final award here, or no, sorry, second to last. The Who's Cooking Award. Remember, this is given to a quarterback who cooked this year, whether it was good or bad. You know, yeah, he's true. Setting the kitchen on fire. he was cooking up five-star meals. I don't know. Jody, who did you go with for the cooking award?
All right, so this, I already teased kind of this guy earlier. I said I had the numbers for you later. But the way I described the gameplay this year is kind of like, you got your local hole in the wall, you know, all the locals know about it, but not really the people out of town, because that's not the spot that gets all the love, not really flashy outside. But when you go in, you know, I mean, nice setting. They might got the piano or something. Okay, a little different than you expect. But Joey B is my guy right here. Like I said, I wrote right here, he's had a good case for MVP, but because the team didn't do well, he kind of got swept under the rug. All makes sense. My guy threw for 70.6% completion percentage, 4,900 yards, 43 touchdowns with 9 interceptions. Team being 9-8, very average of the pack. Very barely missed the playoffs. Like I said, Chiefs gave the Broncos that win at the end of the year where they smoked them, granted, but they pulled all their starters. And like I said, Joey B was definitely cooking, just wasn't in the right spot, at least for this year.
Yeah, man. Gave my guy our guy two awards, dude. We were worried about him not winning one. You gave him two. There we go. Okay, I've got a dude who I think signifies the ethos of this award either way. Yeah. And that's Jameis Winston, right? The ultimate cook dude. He's always cooking one way or another. I mean, the greatest example of this, the Broncos game. I mean, the Broncos game is, if you just want to know who Jameis Winston is, watch the Broncos game, dude. Oh my gosh. He could be cooking up a five-star steak, right? That's the 13 touchdowns, over 2,000 yards that he had in just 9 games this year. Could also be cooking up, you know, my least favorite meal as a kid, that hamburger helper. It was just nasty. You want to make me want to throw up, bro. 12 picks, 2 fumbles, right? So you never know what you're getting with Jameis Winston. You just know he's in the kitchen. He is in the kitchen. Yes, bro. I mean, 30, it's like the 30, year, what was it, 30-30? Yeah, exactly. With 5,000 yards. I mean, that's exactly who this dude is. It's like, hey, no risk it, no biscuit. Like, he's going to do it all, and it's going to look good. Sometimes he's cooking up the five-star meal, and sometimes not going to look. He's the guy in the kitchen who just tries stuff and says, like, let me see what peanut butter with hamburger tastes like. And it's either like, oh my gosh, that's amazing, or it's like, you know what I'm saying? Like, there's just no in between with that guy. He's just going to be great or awful. And that's this award, dude. This award is for the great ones and the awful ones, and there's no in between. And Jameis signifies that perfectly. It's honestly, this is my favorite award I've given out on this podcast. I love this. This is perfect.
All right, quick story about that. I'm gonna put peanut butter or whatever you said, jelly with hamburger. We're watching Worst Cooks in America, which is kind of funny. And there's this dude. There, him and Russell Wilson battling for the But no, this dude put peanut butter in some like sauce or something, and everyone was like, "What? Like, why are you doing that?" And then the person's like eating it, and they're like, "That sounds crazy." Like, this dude's like, "Yeah, I really love peanut butter. I put it on everything." When I was a kid, like, I figured it would be a nice touch, right? They go to eat the food, and they're like, "Oh my god, this is so good. That peanut butter does this and this." Like, and he was sitting there just cheesing, bro, because he was like, "I did the greatest thing of all time. I put peanut butter on there, man. Now it tastes so good." It was hilarious. But it's funny you brought really that up right now.
All right, last award, and quite possibly the award I look to the most every week in the season. Very excited to see who you give this to. The Boo Boo Evans Award, who was the essentially worst receiver comparison to expectation this year, Jody.
Oh, I don't know about expectation, but this guy traveled the world, bro. Let me tell you. His favorite number has to be 3. I'll get into that explanation right now, but Diontae Johnson, this guy played for 3 different teams, all right? He went 33 for 67. There's three. We got 375 yards, another three. He caught three touchdowns in all three of these teams combined. That's his whole stats for the year. He played for Carolina, Houston, and Baltimore. He went 5-7 as a collective for those teams. And guess what? Out of those five wins, he only logged stats in three of them. This guy, quite literally boo-boo.
Oh, so, I mean, I think that's perfect because, like, when he was traded away to Carolina, people were like, man, the Steelers, they're getting rid of Deontay Johnson, you know? Like, that was their number two receiver behind George Pickens. What's the deal? And, oh, but they're getting a corner that should help him. Okay, kind of makes sense. Oh, Bryce Young, new target. Terrible in Carolina, unhappy. Okay, well, we trade him to Baltimore, you know, contender. Let's figure that out. Terrible in Baltimore. we got to cut him and go into the playoffs. And Houston's like, oh, yeah, we'll pick this guy up going to the playoffs. We need an extra guy. Cut him. Like, it just was so bad. This is four teams this year, if you include the Steelers in the offseason before he's traded. Like, and nobody, I mean, it's just, I think the guy's career might be over. I mean, at this point, maybe someone will take a chance on the talent and know that he knows it's his last chance. But dude, he knew it was his last chance in Houston, and he was still a problem. So I think the guy's career might be done, bro. I mean, it's really that bad. So yeah, he may not get a chance to wear three or record another three stat. All right. Before we leave today, you know, we got the banger of the week. It's my week here. I'm going to tell you this. Jill made some stuff this week, right?
Uh-huh.
It was like a Caprese chicken. Very good. But the thing she used that was legit, fresh mozzarella cheese. And I'll tell you.
A little ball?
Legit, bro. Legit. Like, very good. Like, I was like, whoa, this is good. It was like with a little balsamic. So she went chicken.
Ooh.
Cheese on top of the chicken, the mozzarella. Little balsamic glaze, little bit of like those little, I forget what they're called, what kind of tomatoes there are, but those little baby tomatoes topped with it. And like, it was the perfect blend of like kind of sweet because of the balsamic glaze, but also like very moist because of the cheese melted and the chicken and the tomato juices. And then just the mozzarella cheese being fresh and like gooey is the best way I can describe it. Bro, it was good. It was really good. So shout out Jill, number one. But number two, fresh mozzarella, man. You know what I mean? Underrated. Underrated food. Underrated taste and texture.
I think the texture is the best part. Because they normally put the thick slices on there. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So,
mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's like spongy and gooey and like, oof. Yeah, good stuff. Okay, so next week, we will be back. We will talk about the Super Bowl. We'll probably break down some of the championship games a little bit and see what translates to the Super Bowl. I'll obviously have film breakdown for you. We're going to have Jody's prop bets, his over-under, his who he's taking, if he wants to take the money line or the spread. Like, dude, we're going to have it all. We're going to be heads ready for that Super Bowl. Yeah, we might even talk Gatorade, heads, tails, Gatorade bath. I mean, we do it all. We get you ready. How many times is Tom Brady going to mess up somebody's name on the broadcast? Like, all of it. Will there be a streaker? Like, everything. So we'll be fully prepared when we record next Friday to get you ready for the Super Bowl. And until then, enjoy the Pro Bowl games, the NFL honors, all of the stuff coming this week. And start thinking about the draft, fellas, because it's about that time. About to get to that time. So until then, we got our guy, Jody.
Ray, taking us out.
Boom. Great job. Been going on for way too long. System in place is way too wrong. Tell me how you feel if a cop came around, put your son to the ground and he choke him till he can't breathe. Or better yet, break into your house and he shoot you on your couch cause he's scared and he couldn't see. Or going on a jog outside and he put that AR to your chest and he fired. Matter of fact, tell me how you feel if your son wore a hoodie when outside got killed. This the main thing I want you to hear. The reason they be killing all my people cause of fear. Cops see a black man shoot him.
white man kill 100 people, they subdue them. Freedom. I'ma raise my hand, my fists in the air, I stand my ground like freedom. You can't kill my soul, my brother on the floor can't breathe, let him go like freedom. My brother and sister fighting to be alive, every day we scream out freedom. Around a cow, one knee, mean two different things, we just wanna be free. You have the right to remain silent. Anything you say, it don't matter cause you black. You already guilty as a matter of fact. Make one move, you ain't never going back to your mom or your daddy. Better yet, please, I beg you to make a move, cause I pull the trigger gladly. Black man down, look, Your Honor, I saw it. I saw him reaching for his 9mm wallet. 38 caliber inhaler in the backseat, so I call for backup when we ran it like a track meet. Had a couple unpaid tickets in the past, so I pulled up on him and I had to shoot his ass. I don't need taser, Glock what I draw. Unless you got a badge, then you not above the law. System in my favor, black boy, you the opposite. I drive you to the station and think about what to charge you with. Speaking to the culture, the community in peril. Got us all thinking like crabs in a barrel. War going on, but we fighting on each other. We cannot afford to be killing all our brothers. We gon' need every single soldier in this battle. About to go left, let me tell you why I have to. Really, it's a trip, this is what I gotta do. So I'ma say it one time and I'm saying it for you. This is for the people looking at me so confused. Wonder why I say and I act the way I do. Why he saying we? Why he talking like he black? Why you talking like you know the struggle, this and that? I swear I hear it all, so I'm finally addressing. I'm white and I'm black, this is my confession. Hate I gotta waste time answering that question. Fists in the air, represent God's blessing.
Freedom!
Yeah.
Freedom!
We just wanna be free.
Freedom!